Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Jay, this feels like a different Hot Lava Podcast. I'm Kevin Acey, Potter's Beat writer, Jay Posner, Sports Editor of the Union Tribune. Am I right, Jay? Luis Urias.
It's Luis Urias Day, Kevin. How can you not be excited about this?
Happy Luis Urias Day. Sold out Petco. Oh,
okay. Okay, well, maybe not sold out just yet. But
Well, people probably started celebrating already, and then they won't be able to make it to Petco because they've already celebrated. And no, seriously.
I'm not even sure if tickets are still available. I'm going to try it on my phone right now to see where we'd even be able to buy tickets. I'm sure there was a mad rush online last night and at the windows today. This is exciting, but I almost feel bad for this kid. I mean, he's 21 years old and he's coming into a situation where people are so desperate for something. Fans of this team are so eager / desperate to root for something, to see some sort of progress. And this is a guy that, we've heard about for months and months and months, and he's been tremendous. I mean, he's put up great numbers wherever he's been in the minors. All the stuff that you would hope for. I mean, everybody says he's going to be a really good player, but I mean, this is not a guy that I think people are, this is not Robbie Alomar reincarnated. Or, a guy like Chase Utley who might end up in the Hall of Fame, or, to date ourselves going back to Joe Morgan or people like that. I mean, this guy is
Ryan Sandberg.
Ryan Sandberg. He's supposed to be a really good player. And if all goes well, you'd hope to see him on a couple All-Star games. But I hope people don't get carried away, and it'll be obviously joking tonight when people judge him off his first at bat against Felix Hernandez of all people, although this is not the same Felix Hernandez that we've seen. But all that said, it's exciting. I'm eager to see him a few times this week, and whatever he does, and it all starts again next year anyway. I mean, I don't think whether he hits 400 or 200 in these remaining weeks, 5 weeks, probably isn't going to change a whole lot. The Padres obviously expect him to be a very good player for a very long time.
Right. Okay. So if he hits 400, it's like something of confirmation that, wow, the kid can hit here. But let's not get carried away with September results, right?
Right. I mean, who knows who he's going to be facing? And again, it's just a month. I mean, he could, it's like starting a season and being, a 380 hitter in April. And by the middle of June, you could be hitting 220.
And so
these are long seasons.
Right, and vice versa. And so if he hits 200, because that's what you said, he could hit 400, he could hit 200. If he hits 200, all it means is he's like a lot of major leaguers, and he comes up and he has to make some adjustments and learn. So either way, it's like, yeah, we can maybe learn something from what he does here in the next 29 games, and I would anticipate he could very well start 29, be it a couple of shortstop, most at second base, or he could start 27. But whatever we see, there's something to be learned from it, but there's really not that much to be learned from it. But it's exciting, Jay, because it signals this is a new level. This is their number four prospect, who was their number three prospect, their number two position prospect after Fernando Tatis Jr., until they got Francisco Mejia in the trade. So this is like the Hot Lava talent. Okay, that's what this is.
And we're going to see Mejia, I would assume, later this week, correct?
Right. This is the beginning of the beginning. I mean, hey, great. Jacob Nix, Joey Lucchesi, maybe Brett Kennedy, Eric Lauer. These guys could be in the rotation for years to come, or one of them could, or whatever.
Brett, but not
this
Brett
is
Kennedy.
Not, this is not, Jay. How can you say about Luis Urias not to judge too quickly?
No, I
yet?
Know.
Oh, Brett Kennedy. Come on now. So this is the beginning of the Hot Lava talent. That's why this is exciting.
Right. And I think, going forward, and again, we'll see Mejia, by the end of the week. Unfortunately, we won't see Tatis. Although I could see them playing service time games with Tatis at the beginning of next year.
Perhaps.
I mean, because there's really, look, if you're looking down the road, maybe that's a guy that you can do that with, especially, I mean, he's going to be, 20 next spring? And he may not be ready anyway. I mean, that's the other side of this. I mean, might serve them. I think if Tatis doesn't make the team in spring training next year, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but if he doesn't make the team in spring training next year and he's not on the roster you know, when the Giants come here to open the season in late March, it doesn't necessarily mean they're playing service time games. He might not just be ready yet. And right, I know everybody now, always assumes the worst that, oh, well, the Padres are doing this or any team is doing this. But, you know, we might not see him till, who knows, we might not see him till June. I think we thought we'd see Urias before this. And, it you know, for whatever reasons, it didn't happen. But it's good that he's here now, and it's good that there's a month left. And I think it's something to look forward to watching over this past month, because as we've seen in recent weeks, there hasn't been a whole lot else. The team has not played well, you know, with the exception of maybe a week or so a little while back. It's been a rough go, and you know, they're still sitting on 50 wins as we sit here on August 28th. So.
Look, you said that get ahead of ourselves. Well, there's nothing but to get ahead of ourselves right now.
Right. So, I didn't do a whole lot of looking into the Mariners for this two-game series. Tom Krasovic wrote a good piece today that people can find either in the paper or online, sort of summing up the Mariners situation. That's he pointed out the Mariners have the longest postseason drought of any team in the four major sports in North America, which is not something that you're proud of. The last time, I don't know if he used this or I read it somewhere else, he did say that the Seattle Supersonics were in the postseason more recently than the Mariners, but I believe the Mariners were there in Ichiro's first season in the United States. That was the last time that the Mariners made the
Wasn't that
playoffs.
The ALCS?
Yeah, 2001, I think it I think it was. So anyway, I mean, Seattle comes here. They've got some guys that will be worth seeing. But sure. All eyes obviously will be on the Padres' 21-year-old prospect.
The 21-year-old, the 22nd overall prospect, according to MLB.com. And like you said, Mejia, he's 21st overall. And I think that we'll probably see Fernando Tatis Jr. And we might see him in the Arizona Fall League. Maybe he'll go play in the Dominican. I don't know. But I think that then in the spring, we'll see him. And like I said, this is exciting because it's the beginning. That's really, it's been a long time since when I went to the ballpark. I really was only interested in one thing. And I do, look, I've got other things I need to ask about and find out about. But I mean, today it's like all about Luis Urias. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that I need to make my daily phone call or text to you to find out what the story angle is today. I think even I can figure this one out. What can we expect, you know, for people like me who have never seen him play, except for maybe a couple spring training at bats that I've already forgotten. But for the average person out there who has not seen him play, what can we expect from Urias? He's 5'9", 185. So not
right.
the, not the
not
biggest fellow.
You're not going to be like, whoa, Aaron Judge.
Yeah, right. But, you know, bigger than Jose Altuve, not as big as Aaron Judge. How about that?
Here's the thing is it doesn't take long to see, like, natural athleticism, baseball athleticism. When you see him play second base, you haven't seen a second baseman like that this year in a Padres uniform. Just the way that he'll go back and get under a ball, the way he'll turn a double play, just effortlessly. And look, I thought Carlos Asuaje was much improved, but it was like, wow, look at what Carlos Asuaje did. It'll be like almost where you're like, oh, wow, that was just beautiful what Luis Urias did. That's what stuck out to me. And they believe he can get better on defense. And it's like, man, then that, you know, that just showed me in the spring, like, why you're a top prospect, right? Is that you see a guy playing, you go, man, he's got it. And then you talk to, you know, the people that know baseball, and they're like, well, he can get better at this, he can get better at this. And it's like, wow. But what stands out to you is just how effortless it is. And then if you're tired of watching people chase bad pitches, which I can understand if you have seen an abundance of Padres games that you would be, you generally will not see Luis Urias do it. And as a matter of fact, you will go, wow, how did he wait on that pitch? It's just time after time after time. And you won't see two bad at-bats in a row kind of thing from him. Now, of course, he's jumping up to the highest level, and everybody says, like, all the good players do what Luis Urias has done, which is shine at every level, right? And then everyone that's been here, well, not everyone, maybe not Mike Trout, but for virtually everyone, there's that handful of guys that everyone could name, but virtually everyone says the jump between AAA and the majors is bigger than anything they've ever experienced, including high school to college or high school to, you know, low A.
Right.
I mean, it's just monumental. So I can't say that Luis Urias won't look like a fool tonight, like so many, you know, future Hall of Famers have looked like fools on their first night. But I'll tell you, in spring training, it was evident right away, you know, who the guy on the field was who was going to be here first.
Well, it's interesting that looking at his minor league numbers, looking at on base percentage, because I know that's supposed to be a great strength of his, and he's gone at every level. His on-base percentage, like at Fort Wayne, it was .370 during the year he was there. The next year, he went up to Lake Elsinore and, you know, high A ball, .397. Last year, he's at San Antonio, .398. This year, he's at El Paso, .398. So, I mean, he's found a way at every level to get on base. Now, is he going to have a .400 on-base percentage here? I don't think so. But it's obvious that he knows how to get on base. He did strike out more this year.
Mm-hmm.
He struck out more at each level. He's gone from 36 to 65 to 109. So, you know, that would be something that you wouldn't want to see. But he's had, you know, he's hit a lot of doubles, more doubles this year than at his previous levels. You know, and you look at the numbers, they all look good. And as you said, when you saw him in the spring, he looks like the kind of guy that is going to be a good player, and that will be welcome. I mean, I think, not that there aren't good players on this team, but you know, this is someone who's still only 21 years old, which I'm sure will be forgotten regularly. But you know, he's 21. I mean, let's see what he looks like when he's 23, 24, and he's had a couple years behind him. I mean, and maybe he won't need that long. I mean, maybe he's the kind of guy that,
right,
you know, he gets his 30 games in this year and he comes back next year and he's, you know, sort of quote figured it out.
The beauty of this. He has 30 games to do that.
Right. Like, and to get an idea,
have that.
Right. To get an idea of what he's going to be facing, you know, for the rest of his career. Here's what he's going to be seeing against, you know, I think it's mostly NL West teams, but you know, here's Seattle. They've got Cincinnati coming up. They've got the Rockies one more time this weekend. So there's a lot of good teams ahead that they'll be
teams that are fighting
facing
for playoffs. That'll be good for him.
Right. And that's
good pitching.
That is something I'd be interested in his response tonight. And I'm sure, I mean, on the face of it, it sounds like a silly question. Hey, Luis, are you happy you got called up to the big leagues? Or do you wish you could have stayed in El Paso to be in the playoffs? But I do think that I think it's an interesting I think it sounds stupid, but to me it's an interesting question. I mean, he was with these guys all year. He played 120 games in El Paso, and they are going to the playoffs, but is there any sort of, boy, I wish I could have stayed down there, or is it, forget that, I'm going to the show. You know, good luck, you guys. Send me a Cracker Box ring Cracker Jack's ring if we win it. So
I think it can be both, Jay. I mean, I do think there's value in it, and people that say there's not are like, well, I guess you haven't talked to these guys, and I guess you haven't seen the pictures, because, I mean, I don't know, did you see the tweet from the Chihuahuas when they clinched? I mean, those guys didn't look like they were faking being happy and being proud.
Right. Oh, no, I'm sure it's very exciting. And I wonder, you know, the guys who went through it, who are on the Padres now, you know, did that experience help them? I mean, it's hard to know because they have, and if they say it did, then I have no reason to doubt that. And I would expect it would. I mean, at the level you're playing at, there's pressure there. I mean, you are feeling that sort of thing. But at the same time, here's a guy that's, you know, been playing baseball since he was probably, I don't know, 6 years old or whatever, and probably dreaming of being in the major league. So I'm guessing he's going to be pretty excited to be in San Diego.
And a
tonight.
Different kind of pressure. That's what, when you talk to these guys, when you talk to Austin Hedges, Hunter Renfro, about going through that, yes, there was pressure. Yes, that was it was huge to them. And yes, maybe once they actually play a meaningful game in the majors, you know, maybe 2 August from now, right? You know, September, October of 2020, then that kind of thing they'll be able to draw on. But then there's also this, and both can be true. It doesn't have to be so polar opposite or black and white, dear Twitter. But, you know, both can be true that even as they're doing that, it's like, this is AAA. Like, can you get to the show, man?
Right.
And it's
right.
Like, Luis Urias will be more nervous tonight than he would have been in game one of the, you know, AAA championship series.
I'm sure.
Just no doubt.
Right. Right. and that just kind of adds to his night. And I do think it will be, I don't know that this was planned at all. And I doubt that it was, but I think there's probably a little bit of a benefit to opening with a week at home.
Yes.
You know, get into one place. You're in the same clubhouse each day. It's a clubhouse where, you know, I'm sure he's been. And now, you know, you do that for a week before they head out on their, I guess it's their, I don't have the schedule, but I think it's their last long road trip of the year.
Second to last trip, last long one.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, the one with all the off days. With all the off days in it. So,
Arizona, Cincinnati, Seattle. It really is. It's one of the guys appointed to all year gone, what the heck?
Right, but right. Well, anyway, we will come back and we'll watch him for 2 days, and then we'll make rash judgments about him when we tape another one of these on Thursday in advance of the Rockies series. So be sure to come with your hot takes, Kevin. We'll be waiting for those on Thursday.
I will do it like a certain radio guy used to do training camp practices and chart the quarterback's throws. I will have everyone.
Can you make sure you send me his batting practice numbers tonight?
But did you want me to break it down to like what side of the field or
absolutely
where the zone,
and what did you, oh. And how many double plays did he turn and whether guys were safe or out? We're expecting all of this evening, Kevin, on at least on Twitter from
what it means for his long term future.
Of course,
yes, absolutely,
of course.
You got it.
Yes.
All right, this was fun. We're all excited, and I assume I'll see you tonight, boss.
Not tonight. I will be out there tomorrow afternoon, though, for the day game. Tonight, I will have to watch on TV.
I look forward to it.
All right,
Talk
Kevin.
To you later.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, everybody.